Welcome back to another episode of Star Wars and Galaxy, watching all the Star Wars we can get our hands on. I'm Eli. And today, we have our first special episode of 2024 of Star Wars and Galaxy. We just finished season 16, and before we get into, not 17, but season 16 and a half, because we can never do anything normally, we are continuing with one of our ongoing special episode series, looking at the deleted scenes of certain Star Wars. It was originally going to be chronological in universe time, and then I just decided, fuck it, we're gonna do chronological in real world time, because it's behind the scenes. So we did the prequels first, which I know is not chronologically correct, and then we did the originals, but whatever. But after that I decided, no, we're going seriously chronological. We did the Clone Wars film, then we did the deleted scenes from season 2, 3, and 4 of Star Wars The Clone Wars. There were none available to us from season 1. Today, season 5 has around as many deleted scenes as season 3 alone. The difference is that these were significantly longer. These altogether are around 40 minutes long. I'll put this in perspective. I think we did about, like, how many scenes did we do for the prequels? We did 19 scenes. For the originals, we did 22. For the TCW film season 2 deleted scenes, we did 36. For season 3, season 4, I think we did 50 something. Yeah, 55. This is 33. So there's a lot, but we've done more. So how this is going to work, Jacob and I are going to run down what the scene or extended scene entails, and we're going to express any thoughts we have. I didn't write a ton for any of these. I don't think Jacob probably did either, but that's the beauty of them, because there are a lot of them.
I think there are a few. There are some.
Yeah.
That's the nature of this. There are some that warrant a lot of discussion. And quite frankly, there are some that just don't. That's kind of how
absolutely. And we'll make our final ruling as to whether we think it should have been included. Simply yes or no. And we are marking it all down on a spreadsheet that we've had since the beginning that we will, of course, link down in the description of this episode so y'all can keep track of how we're ruling on these episodes. And I will warn everybody recording, and I think I do this often, I'm not looking for objective, like, quality in these deleted scenes. I'm looking for whether I like them or not. There are things that I use to justify including certain scenes that I will... And I will say the same thing about another scene, but I will not include it. So, am I aware that there is some, like, I'm going to be making some strange arguments? Yes. But it's just a gut thing for me.
I think what you're saing is, this is our
show. Let's go.
Even if it doesn't always make sense.
Never make sense. Anyway, we start. Okay. I forgot about this. This is really cool. I like this. I don't know if you realize this, because War on Two Fronts is not the first episode of that season. It's Revival, but...
It's not, that's
true. But Revival, A, takes place later, and B, I actually believe it was also, like, unlike the other, like, stuff where they played around with chronology, I think it was actually produced alongside the Mandalore stuff. So I think they originally intended on putting it later in the season, and then they decided to put it earlier for... some reason. I don't know. So Revival actually comes later. I just thought there were no deleted scenes for Revival. There are. They just come after D-Squad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a scene called Droid Popper Training.
Yeah, they're...
The Captain Rex training the Onderon Rebels and how to roll a droid popper and eat the EMP grenade just so that it gets into the droidica shield. I feel like this is not a very necessary scene. Like, we get this anyway. We get Lux Bonteri flirting with Steela, Ahsoka being pissed off, sobbing. Like, we get all that in the actual episode. So for this one,
it's funny. I'm thinking of this. So this is the third lesson that's taught to, but from the Republic to the Onderonian freedom fighters. This is not the only third lesson that's been cut from a Star Wars project. If you recall, in a film that I know you and I each have our individual thoughts on, and yours has changed recently. If you recall Last Jedi, when Luke says, I will train you, he goes, three lessons at dawn. Number one is the legacy of the Force does not serve the Jedi alone. Number two is the legacy of the Jedi is failure. And number three is... what? That's because it's not in the movie.
I can't remember.
It's because it's not in the movie. We only see two of the three lessons that Luke presents to Rey. But there was a third lesson filmed, but Johnson cut it for time. And I understand, like, from an Eric perspective, why you would go to the trouble of doing a third. Like, three seems like a good round number of lessons you want to you want mentor figures to teach to like, young bucks, basically. But, like, when you actually get to executing that, yeah. I can see how it's... Do we really need all three of these? Or can just... Or can two just work? And I think... It's funny because... Talk about me contradicting myself. When we eventually get to the sequel deleted scenes, I will tell you that I believe that the third lesson from TLJ should have been included. But for this one, I'm actually going the other way. I get it. Too repetitive. We don't need it. So it's a no for me. Same for you? Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Rebels talk strategy. It's at the end of, I believe, the Soft War, when they're, like, figuring out military tactics and stuff like that. And,
Rebels talk strategy.
Interesting. I was very much of the mind of the last one as well, that I felt like it was pretty repetitive.
It's a little heavy-handed. It's very on the nose, but I'm seeing Saw and Steel as opposing viewpoints. With Saw going over the crates of weapons while Steel and Ahsoka talk about how they need to.
I just feel like we already get that.
People know that we're fighting for them. You know, I don't know. Put me down, Cena. I'm not gonna lie. I think it does.
You're saying
does
yes.
A
I'm
good
saying
job
no again.
The difference.
I'm saying no again.
I'm saying yes.
Battle for Onderon, which is just some extended battle footage. Look.
It's just
more droid poppers,
more
guerrilla fighting. If there's a general rule for me that I found for this one, is if there's extra fighting, usually that means I'm a yes. There are some exceptions to the rule, but more often than not, extra fighting is a yes from me. And this is no exception. I'm going yes for this one.
This is the most.
Oh yeah, no, I understand. I 100% understand. I get it. I get it. Call it a weakness of mine. I like the
Sorry,
pew
go
pew.
Ahead. Yeah, no, that's the Clone Wars has pew pew
lightsaber go beer, lightsaber go
missile gun explosion, boom, kaboom.
Yeah.
Lots of space battles, lots of droids, lots of lightsabers. I love it. I'm gonna go no for this one though. I don't think it does that much. I don't think it's necessary in this episode.
So. Next, we have a scene, and there were two scenes like this in this one and actually the last scene we'll talk about. And this one was called Steel is Fate. And I don't know about you, but when I stared at that title for the first time, I'm like, oh, are you saying that there was a version of the story where they kept her alive?
No, she just died in an
argument. I thought that. And then I saw it, and I'm like...
Yeah, no, yeah.
No, we don't need to fall onto a bird and then fall off. What is this? Do you want to kill us more? It's already painful enough, I swear. No.
Yeah. Basically, she just gets crushed under a giant pterodactyl that falls.
We get it. It's tragic. She dies too young. She dies, and then just as the rebellion is retaking Onderon. We get the point. You don't need to belabor it anymore. Yeah, no.
It is quite fine the way it is.
No for you as well?
It's quite fine.
All right. Okay. Pushing beyond fear. I believe this is supposed to be at the beginning of the Gathering arc, like the very first scene we're supposed to see. And it gives us some exposition to the characters, which I understand why they'd want to do before putting them in this, like, huge trial to show us a little bit about the personalities. But frankly, I think we get everything we need to know about the characters from the episode The Gathering anyway. So I don't think this is a necessary scene.
I actually, yeah, you make a good point. Like, we do get, I like it, though. I like how it sets the tone. I like that Ahsoka, I like hearing Ahsoka, I like hearing Ahsoka say that. I'll say yes. I like this.
All right.
It's basically Ahsoka saying, you should be afraid, because, which, I'll saying, I'm not afraid of this challenge at all.
You will
and Ahsoka
be.
Says,
you will
you
be.
You should be.
Yeah. Next, we have Arrival on Ilum, which is just an extended version of their Arrival on Ilum, and Gnoti taking my respect of her down like a good three notches. Why can't we get a master? Because no masters were available. You got one of the best Padawans in the Clone Wars. You don't defame my girl Ahsoka Tano like that. You don't talk about her like that. She survived the Citadel as a Padawan. She survived days and possibly weeks on fucking Waska in season 3. Like, she just helped a group of rebels overthrow the government on Onderon. You don't talk about her like that. And for Gnoti's disrespect and sass alone, I'm giving it a no.
Yeah, I'm gonna go for no as well. I don't think it adds anything.
Next we have, from the beginning of the episode, what is this? Wait. It's shit. What's the episode called? The Gathering? A Test of Courage. No, A Test of Strength. It's called A Test of Strength. I always confuse it with the High Republic book, which is called A Test of Courage. A Test of Strength. The beginning of the Test of Strength is an extended sequence. It's called Petro Skills. It's extended secrets of Petro practicing with the lightsaber. Yeah. Almost all of these scenes, by the way.
Well, the Padawan's thing. It's all the Padawans just saying, oh my god.
Almost all, if not
He's
all
so good
of this
at the
stuff, by the way, with the extended footage, goes into animatics, so it's not fully rendered, and the voices are not fully... Yeah.
Yeah, this is
so
all
it's more
highly
unfinished
unfinished
than most things. Like, it's more consistently unfinished than the other Clone Wars stuff we've seen so far, which is fine. You know, animation takes a long time to do, and it's like, to cut anything from animation is not like cutting something from live action, where you can just have as many takes as you want. Because people work extremely hard on the design of the animation, especially with a software that Lucasfilm built from scratch, like they did with the Clone Wars. Like, this is not stuff you mess around with. What are your thoughts, Jacob?
I like this. I think there's a lot in A Test of Courage. There's quite a few little scenes, and they might seem inconsequential, but I really wish that they had put in a few more of these little moments, because it feels to me like these really do some work to make the Padawans just a bit more interesting. We get to know each of them just a bit more, and I think that would... These are by no means bad episodes to begin with, so I'm not saying they need to be fixed or saved or anything, but I think it would make the episode a little bit more appealing overall if we just got to know each of these young people just
three
a bit
words
more.
For you.
Just a little bit more.
Lightsaber, go burr. Yes. I want that lightsaber action.
Yeah, you want
action,
that lightsaber
really
action. Fair.
Next one is Hu Yang's lecture. And it's extended lecture about the construction of the lightsaber from Hu Yang to the Padawans. I'll keep mine short. Any Hu Yang is good Hu Yang. I especially believe this after Ahsoka. I would have loved to hear all those lines in David Tennant's voice. Yes.
Yeah, is good.
Pirate invasion. We have a few of these from, I feel like every time we do this, where I cannot tell you what is different from this scene to the actual scene.
I think it's just an extended version of it, basically.
Yeah.
There's just more shots.
Oh,
there's just more sequences.
Nothing is extremely, like, consequential.
Tussling with it.
So, no. So it's a no for me.
No, not at all. I want to keep it. I think the choreography is great. I think that we get to see some of the Padawan spirit is on display. They're teaming up to try and take down this pirate. And then it ends up being R2-D2 who saves the day. You know
all
what?
Right.
I'll say,
repairing
I'll say
the crucible when Hu Yang is... No, it, no, it's not that. Never mind. It's repairing the crucible, I believe. Is that R2?
It's R2 and...
Okay, R2, yeah.
Is it Genodi, I want to say?
Zat?
No, it's not Genodi, I want to say.
Zat.
It's Zat. The Nautilin Padawan? Yeah, it's Zat. I think it does a good job of showing us just a little bit more something of one of these Padawans that we hadn't really seen before.
I said
so
it was
I
too
like
small
that.
Of a moment to really justify like it that. For me, so I said no. But same thing for me with Hu Yang reactivated. I think it could have worked. I love Hu Yang's utter exasperation at what the hell is going on right now. But I can see how it ultimately would clog the flow of the episode, so I said no. What did
Fair
you say
enough.
For Hu Yang reactivated?
Enough. Okay, rebuild.
Yeah.
For Hu Yang reactivated? Yeah.
Gorge
go
Chase.
In this case, I think. Ooh, the extended version of this was amazing. So it's Ahsoka and the Padawans fighting Grievous. The skiff barge. And my goodness,
armless
Hu Yang. Being a badass.
Ape shit
Gungi
on that commando droid. Yeah, my god.
On a commando droid.
Grievous just...
And we get more
remember
Ahsoka
when Grievous... There's that part in this where Grievous fucking chucks the... Fucking chucks one of the Padawans back on the skiff. And it's like one of the only times Grievous engages in a direct confrontation with one of the kids. And it like genuinely scared me for a second. Even though I knew they'd all be alright. Because this is General Grievous you're talking about. And you don't play with that stuff. But,
yeah.
Oh, it's
this is
yes
a kick-ass
for me.
Scene. This is a kick-ass scene, though.
Yeah,
very. Resound for me.
Ahsoka versus
yes.
Grievous, which is just an extension of the lightsaber duel.
Yes, as well.
The answer
Why
is
not?
Yes.
Hello? Like, you mean we get to see more Ahsoka?
Yes,
Grievous?
The answer is yes.
Who's those snaps?
We're going into D-Squad now, meeting Dr. Goobacker. Like Hu Yang, I believe that any WAC 47 is good WAC 47. So, yes.
I'll say yes.
We
well.
Got Meeber Gascon's game plan. Why the fuck does the voice actor for Meeber Gascon and all of these use a southern accent? Did you notice that?
I did. I thought that the scene didn't add anything of value, but the reference voices for the clones and for Gascon are hilarious, as is... the random asset text on one of the astromechs, just like a long file name.
But like, seriously, like
I love it.
Almost it took me out of it, honestly. Even
it's
though,
highly
like,
enjoyable.
I know it was the lead scene. I'm like, what the hell is this southern accent on Meeber Gascon? He would have. Don't you tell me he was a lost causer. That guy was. Meeber Gascon is many things. A lost causer is not one of them. I said no.
I don't know. Yeah, I say no. It was a fun. The deleted scene was funny, but I'm okay. I'm
we
okay
have.
On this one.
Yeah.
Point of no return.
Yeah.
The crew engine.
Yeah,
nothing important here, in my opinion. They're
not
just,
important at all. No.
They're just messing around in the engine.
Now we have Revival. Master Plan, where Maul and Savage discuss a bit more of exactly, like, after they break into that space station, exactly how they're going to rebuild in this new galaxy that seemingly has abandoned them. A shocking conclusion for me to make, because it involves more Maul and more Savage Opress. But I'm going to say yes, actually.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes as well. Look, anytime we hear Savage and Maul call each other brother, I'm all there for it. Brother, I'm not strong enough.
I now need to see an edit of...
Look,
I need to see at the
I
edit
think it's a
of
good
the
scene.
Mumford and Sons song. Hey, brother.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I think... And it's an interesting touch as well with Maul kind of nodding to the politics of the galaxy at large, saying, we're going to take the people the Republic has cast aside. We're going to take these... Everyone calls them scum, goons, criminals, villains. We're going to take them and we're going to rise up.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. Maybe we see Maul getting
absolutely.
A bit more political. But I say keep that scene, absolutely.
We have a scene called Anakin's Frustration. And there's another scene later, actually. I want to talk about kind of two scenes together, which is Anakin's Frustration from this, and then Palpatine advises Anakin from The Lawless. Because...
Okay.
It's like a, this is going to sound weird to you. This might sound weird to you. The reason I'm saying no to both of these scenes, Anakin's frustration and Palpatine advising Anakin, is because that I think, like, one of the brilliances, I think, of the episode, of Revival to the Lawless, basically, of those four, is that Palpatine really isn't that involved until the end. Because Palpatine, obviously, like, this is one of the only, Maul is one of the only factors of the Clone Wars that he cannot control. He just cannot control Maul. Again, the Jedi he can keep in check, the Republic he can keep in check, the Separatists he can keep in check, Dooku he can keep in check. Maul answers to nobody. But one of the things I think is interesting is Palpatine's strategy of basically, like, he basically lets Maul's stuff play out because I think he knows that soon enough Maul's going to realize that he is over his head. That he is doing things that cannot possibly last and work for him.
Yeah. And at that moment, basically, I mean, it basically comes when Palpatine kind of steps in and is okay. He's going to lay down the law.
That was the thing. That's like, the thing why I like Palpatine coming in at the end. It's almost like it's not really a shocking, but it is. What's shocking about it is not that Palpatine's coming, like, Palpatine is the one coming to deal with them. What's shocking is that Palpatine considered them enough of a threat to his plans to deal with them. Like, them conquering, like, that, like, I'm not sure if he ever thought that they were going to conquer Mandalore. I just don't know about that. And I think, like, when he sees the success, he sees the Shadow Collective, which I'm sure he thought would fail, because really, if you think about it, something like that absolutely should fail. But yeah, so he sees the Shadow Collective fail, succeed, he sees Maul's takeover Mandalore succeed, he succeeds in killing the Duchess and installing a puppet leader, and Palpatine's like, okay man, slow down, things are going a little too well for you, let's put a stop to this. And these two scenes, both of them, suggest that Palpatine was more concerned about this than I think he, like, actually would have been. Like,
I'm not sure if I agree about the implication of that. Because in Anakin's frustration, Palpatine keeps Anakin on Coruscant. He keeps him from going stand by Obi-Wan's side.
Yeah.
Anakin is begging to go. I think this is Palpatine being a master manipulator of Anakin, as always, isolating him, gaining his trust, keeping him away from
support networks. I'm not saying it's out of character for Palpatine to have done this. But let's be clear, he's doing it because he doesn't want Anakin to die. And he can, to some extent, control whether Anakin dies in conflicts with the Separatists. He can't control it here. Who knows what could fucking happen? And
yeah.
It's not that I think that's a bad, like, story device. I just think that, at least for me personally, I like having Palpatine in the background for most of the arc. So when he does go onto Mandalore, it's like, oh shit, this is getting real.
Okay, that's fair. I enjoy. It's hard for me to imagine that Palpatine would not. That Maul would not have crossed Palpatine's radar. Knowing who Palpatine is, knowing the tabs that he's keeping at. So I like this scene. I would advocate for this scene.
He shouldn't have crossed Palpatine's radar. I'm saying that I think that only at that point, at Lawless, did Palpatine ever really consider Maul, like, something to be concerned about.
And I don't think at all that this indicates that he is worried about Maul. So that's my opinion. So I'm going to say keep it for this one.
Frustration and Palpatine fight as Anakin. All right.
Yes. Where is Palpatine advises Anakin? Which episode is that in? That's not for.
That's the Lawless.
A minute there. Hang on, give me a
it's
second.
It's four seats down.
I want to say about that, I want to say, I love the little touch at the end of the zoom
oh,
out.
To see the
just
statue?
Enough. Right before we cut out, just we see that little Sith statue. That's amazing. And this does make me wonder what Palpatine's stake in this really is, because he doesn't want Anakin to go to Mandalore. Presumably he's not too worried
no.
about Obi-Wan dying on the mission, but also if Obi-Wan were to die, that would only make his life easier.
Yeah, but I think it was mostly about Maul. I think it was
I'll
mostly
yes
about
to both.
Maul.
Yeah, I'll say
but
yes to
that's
both.
Just me. No, but I understand, I understand it, but I'm still saying no for both of them. Peace Park Rescue is an extension of the attack at the Peace Park on Mandalore by the crime syndicates. The staged attack, not to take a page from Jared and go all Alex Jones, but the false flag attack.
Yeah.
Oh, I had the exact opposite
opinion.
Really?
Because I don't think there's anything we see in this.
But Jacob,
there's nothing
it's
that gets
pew,
expanded
pew.
Upon, even the slightest, because of this. I do the which
the
group
Pike,
is it? The big green
the,
guys.
Well,
I'm getting
Black
my organized crime.
Sun.
I do seeing the Black Sun dudes just be like cartoonishly mustache toward
it's
evil.
So
that they're
funny.
Like, oh, ha, ha. They're just chuckling it up.
Remember
while
when Darth
Maul
sponsors
and blowing
false
up a whole
flag
bunch of stuff.
Terrorist attacks on the people of Mandalore to gain control of the to gain control of the planet with his criminal empire in the fifth season, and we all just went along with that? That's
yeah,
fucking
I mean, that's
crazy.
That's Maul for you, man. That's Maul for you.
An extended
how about
Maul
versus
pre-Vizsla.
This one goes hard.
Contradicting myself yet again. It mostly just adds a few clarifying shots of, oh, here's a shot of Maul where there wasn't before, here's a shot of Vizsla where there wasn't before, blah, blah, blah. There wasn't a...
Yeah.
There wasn't actually
it's
a lot of fighting.
Slightly.
Like, there wasn't actually fighting in, like, any of the extensions.
We do see his severed...
A
we see Vizsla's severed head. Which is only
you can see
it
in the background of the
before,
Wallace,
and
but
now we
I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah. There's a full shot. Also, I think, interestingly, we actually... Part of these shots is at the very end of the fight when Maul's just kind of beating the living daylights out of Pre Vizsla, and the fight's all but decided. We actually see Bo-Katan try and step in, and she's
I think we get
held
that implication.
By one of the other onlookers. I think it's an it changes things slightly, the fact that she actually wants to or has that gut reaction to step in, and it makes sense. He's
well,
a Vizsla
after
loyalist.
He kills Vizsla, she goes, "No, no outsider will ever rule Mandalore," and then she retreats with the Night Owl, and then becomes a good guy.
Yes. I mean, I think the one shot that I think really kicks it up a notch here, is that split second shot of Maul looking over at the Darksaber on the floor right before grabbing it with the Force.
That is
just
good.
That little look
I'll,
at
I will,
it, you know,
yeah.
when he realizes this is my. Everything else is fine, but just for that, I'll say yes because that was a kick-ass.
I said
that was
no
a kick-ass
just
shot
because sequence. I didn't think it added enough. Anakin loans the Twilight. My God.
This is interesting because Anakin and Obi-Wan are talking more openly about Obi-Wan and Satine and Obi-Wan's relationship with Satine, which I feel like has a lot of implications for the Anakin and Padme stuff. So I understand why maybe they kept it out if that was the reason, although it could have been any number of things. However, using the car startup sound, the car engine sound effect as a reference for starting the Twilight
really
is pretty
love.
Hilarious. But,
I really
I'm
fucking
gonna
love
say keep it
we should
out.
Change it from Twilight to Flawless. I love Anakin's bluff right there. That is so funny to me. Like deeply funny. And for that, I'm saying yes.
Fair enough. I think I'm going to say no for this one. I just don't.
I also
it.
Like
I
the implication of like Anakin
necessary.
Pointing out that Obi-Wan is handling the situation like he would.
Yeah, that is.
But the
that
situation
is cool, actually.
Ends
is
very differently because of who Obi-Wan is. Right. We already went to Palpatine advises Anakin. An extension of the Sith duel. More shots, more clarifying shots of Maul and Savage dueling Sidious. I'll let you go first on this one because I'm going to have an opinion that might surprise some people.
I don't really know about this one. I think there's some great choreography. I think Savage sliding down the wall, using his lightsaber to catch himself, I think is great. I think it's really interesting that we see the Sith lightning possibly, like, is it possible? Maybe it's just because of the, maybe it's because of the way that this, like, very early stage kind of storyboarding animation is set up with the assets, but it looks like Palpatine is using his lightsabers to direct his own Force lightning at Maul and Savage, possibly, which is intriguing. But more importantly, we actually see that Maul actually uses the Force to pin Sidious against the wall, which I think, you know, it definitely feels like Palpatine's kind of toying with them to an extent in this fight. But I think it makes the duel feel a little bit less one-sided.
That's exactly my problem with it, actually.
Which obviously you would or not like, depending on what you want this episode to be. So I'm going to say put it in because I like the choreography and I think it's cool. But again, it's
actually
a delicate
my reason
matter.
For keep you could shut the reason why
you know,
I say no for it, which is that this extension, like when Maul's holding up Palpatine against the wall and then Palpatine manages to drop the thing on him, which he narrowly escapes. Like, I just don't think that would happen. I just don't think they'd get to a scenario where that would happen. I think the duel lasts exactly... I think that Palpatine's duel against Maul and Savage lasts exactly as long as Palpatine wants it to. Because I just don't think there's any semblance of a threat to him. And that was Maul gaining the upper hand against Palpatine, which I just don't think would happen. And just doesn't work for me. So that's why I said no. There's some cool dueling shots, but just the idea that, like, that Maul would ever be on an even playing field with Palpatine, I can't do that.
Yeah. I agree. I feel like the implication makes it difficult to make the case for it. Despite the yes, but yeah.
We now
Jedi
have the final arc, the Ahsoka framed arc. We have 10 shorts for this arc. But yeah, it was fun going through these. Anakin and Padme, where Anakin is, like, Anakin is fuming about how the Ahsoka situation is being handled, and Padme, like she often has to do, comforts him and calms him down to make sure he doesn't explode. I actually quite liked this scene. I thought it was quite sweet, so I said yes.
Yeah. I think it really works well showing Anakin's internal turbulence in regards to the scene. So I'm right there with you.
Anakin confronts the council. This is a very...
Basically just Anakin at the council for what they're doing with Ahsoka.
Yeah.
He
By
thinks
the
they're
way,
not handling it
you know
well,
what this,
obviously.
You know what this should be? This deleted scene should be retitled? Vindication.
What should be retitled?
Is what it should be retitled. Because I'm tired. I am tired of all these MAGA Republican extremists like Jared out there defaming the good name of Grandmaster Yoda when he knew Ahsoka was innocent. He knew under my administration, we will not tolerate these extreme MAGA Republican ideas that Mace Windu and Ki-Adi Mundi were the saviors of the Jedi when they clearly wanted to throw Ahsoka in a cell and get it done with.
Oh my, I'm not gonna say anything about this part. I feel like there's layers.
Yoda knows
there's
what's
layers
up.
Here. There's
also,
layers here.
Also, I'll just say that the line, every Jedi has a lightsaber that Anakin uses, is really fucking funny. Like, you can tell that Anakin's just done at that point with the Jedi. Yes, for me.
I'm going to say yes as well. I think it shows, again, more of the council and Anakin and their very divergent processes in all of this. I think it could have stayed.
Legitimately,
catch
I'm not
a
joking
Jedi.
To you. I'm
so
not
you
joking.
It's called Anakin.
I'm not joking to you. You know who I just got a text from? Yeah, I did. It was about something else.
Jared.
Literally, like, seconds after we finished talking about it, I got a text.
Oh,
he
knows,
gets a,
man.
He gets a sweaty sense
knows.
Forever. For
that man,
whenever
that
I talk shit about Yoda, or about Ki-Adi Mundi and Mace Windu, which, honestly, fine. He can do that. He can keep losing trivia matches and all that stuff. Anyway.
Yeah. So Anakin and Klo refocus is a really interesting scene because Anakin takes a darker turn here. with him saying, it's not about catching her anymore, it's about stopping her. Like, he really sounds now like he
is believing,
maybe for a minute, is convinced that Ahsoka might have actually done this. Or at least that.
Which is why I'm saying no. Because I don't think, you know, Anakin would for a second believe that Ahsoka did this. I think that's the point of the arc. Like, I think that's, like,
the point of Anakin's
character in the arc is that never for a second does he believe that his Padawan could do such a thing.
Yeah, I'll go with no as well. I was a little bit ambivalent in my notes, but
like,
I think your reasoning has taken
the latest scene I feel like ever I remember that legitimately felt like one of the characters was out of character to me. Like, just don't think that, like, Anakin has that much loyalty to the people he loves, and of course we've seen that can be a strength and also a weakness. But it is like Anakin's loyalty to the ones he loves, and like how difficult it is to convince him that everyone's betrayed him with Obi-Wan and Padme. He unleashes at them because he's so destroyed at them supposedly having lost their loyalty to him. I just don't think that would have happened with Ahsoka. I think you would have needed a lot more to tip Anakin over the edge with Ahsoka. Tarkin's accusations.
We're in the wrong Jedi now, where there are...
seven.
One, two, three... This episode could have been like, it felt like it could have been like five minutes longer if they'd kept all these scenes in. Maybe 10 minutes. Like, this was a scene, or this was rich in deleted scenes.
Tarkin's accusations.
I think it's illuminating to know that the call to have Ahsoka tried for sedition came from Palpatine's off. That's him being a master manipulator, just trying to isolate Anakin from...
Palpatine's so goddamn lucky, though. He is so goddamn lucky, though. Because, again, this is one of the few situations, and that's what a lot of Season 5 is. It are these situations that Palpatine cannot control. Like, I don't know if Palpatine knows who really did it. Like, I don't know if he knows that. I just don't. But let's say that Barriss isn't found out. And that Barriss isn't found out. And Ahsoka is tried, found guilty. And then presumably, as they've implied many times through this arc, executed. When Palpatine is seducing Anakin to the dark side, you think that might be a little bit harder? I'm not saying because he has any more respect for the Jedi, because obviously the way they treated Ahsoka shakes him. But Palpatine ordered her execution.
Yeah, he was ready,
like,
man.
I'm not sure if Anakin would have... I'm not sure if Anakin would have joined the dark side. I'm saying I'm not sure how easy it would have been with that. That might have been a barrier.
It's definitely... The thing about Palpatine and his plan is that the fewer... In Palpatine's ideal world, it's just Anakin and Padme. He wants to isolate him from
Frankly,
the Jedi Council. He wants to isolate
him
from Obi-Wan. Isolate him from Ahsoka. Isolate someone that can keep him from going down... kind of the path of madness that he does.
All the good things in his life. But for me, it was just simply just too much of a restating of the accusations against Ahsoka. Like, I didn't feel like we really got anything new, so I said no.
Yeah, I'll say yes. I think seeing Palpatine's hand in this is a little bit more is interesting, and it doesn't get to the point of, oh, Palpatine actually planned everything and he did everything, which I don't love. They lean on that too much sometimes, but this is not one of those times.
The
so
extended Chamber of Judgment scene.
So the
which
I thought it was a toss up.
I thought
the
original
scene, didn't really notice
this is
going to
be a theme
be
with the I feel like the original this episode specifically with deleted scenes, which is that I just think the original does it better. Although I do love the line "I am Jedi to my core," especially where we know Ahsoka eventually goes.
Yeah.
I'm still going to say no.
Yeah.
Marching Ahsoka out.
Ooh, this is a doozy. There's a lot here. The Barriss Offee hug. Barriss coming up saying, Ahsoka, I'm so sorry. And then we see that, and then that shot of her and that shot of Ahsoka, as they go their separate ways. Ooh. Ooh, that's good. And we, I think Obi-Wan and Anakin have a really good conversation as well in this scene. I think we really see, we get, it helps us get to the core of
For me,
what
I
Anakin
feel like the scene a little bit undermines the twist at the end of the arc that it was Barriss. For me, at least. And the only reason I say that is because it was like, Ahsoka, I feel so bad for you. I'm like, you did this.
It's been so long since I watched this for the first time. We've known how this plays out for so long. It's honestly very difficult to say how this would read, how this would be experienced watching it for the first time. And I don't think it would have been too much for this scene. I want this in here. I thought this was a banger.
Regrettably anti this scene, so we're doing another yes. Seems like you've said yes a lot more than I have this episode, which is a reversal of our usual dynamic, I feel like. Interesting. Anakin confronts Ventress. It was mostly just a little extension of the scene. I will say that I do like the whole, basically, like, Asajj throwing back at, like, how little Ahsoka trusted anybody at this point, because of, like, even him, because of what she was going through. So for that, I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, I'll go with yes as well. I think that it helps build up the suspense in a nice way, including some of that extra conversation, even if it isn't strictly necessary. And to your point as well, I think that having Anakin and Ventress have that conversation definitely does just point out the other side of it a little bit more, as you said. And I'm a Ventress fan too, so I'm perfectly fine with a little more Ventress.
Next, we have trial arguments, which is just more arguments from Padme and Tarkin in the case. I love the fact that Tarkin screams personal bias at Padme for that time Ahsoka, she admits the time Ahsoka saves her. And then he goes, yeah, Ahsoka did save me too. But still, she's still so guilty. That's hilarious. That is so funny.
I don't know. I think that this... Yeah. I'm going to say no for this because we see Palpatine is overseeing the trial. And he sustains the motion that Tarkin has to throw out the evidence, which to me just seems like he just seems a little too biased. And it doesn't quite
I'm actually the opposite of this one. I said yes for this one because I just love the idea of the Tarkin screaming personal bias at Padme. And then he's like, yeah, Ahsoka saved my life.
Yeah.
I hate to admit it.
Yeah, that is pretty
funny. An extension of the Anakin and Barriss Offee lightsaber duel. Two words.
Ooh, okay. This is interesting because the biggest difference here.
Temple guards.
Barriss absolutely drops two temple guardians with style and poise and ease. I don't know how this. Maybe this messes with the continuity of how strong and how gifted is Barriss compared to the temple guards, compared to Anakin. But it is sick. I really don't know, though. I really don't know what it adds or doesn't. Maybe does it make Barriss seem like an immediate threat, you know, just given that she's actually willing to straight up just kill some Jedi with her own two hands? I don't know. I don't know quite what to do with
it. I said yes. What do you think? Because lightsaber go-burr, and also seeing the Temple Guards fighting is actually something we've never actually seen before in Star Wars, if you think about it.
Yeah, that is true. Not a very flattering.
No, but we see one as an Inquisitor later, and he does better, except for if some Rebels purist doesn't like his adaptation in Obi-Wan Kenobi for reasons I don't entirely understand.
Okay, fair enough. I think we can keep it in.
And then finally, we have an alternate scene of Ahsoka's decision, and I only have one thing to say about this one. It excludes the Anakin and Ahsoka exclusive part of this, and everything about the Anakin Ahsoka exclusive part, as well as the part with that larger section of the council, is perfection. How do you improve on perfection? You don't. No.
Yeah, you can't improve on perfection. I have a burning question, though. Eli, most of these scenes, the deleted scenes, they weren't the final voice actors. They were different. It was, I'm not sure what the industry
I don't either.
Term is. I call them references.
References,
notes.
Temps, something.
I don't know. I assume just they're going to lay it down.
They need somebody saying it.
someone's going to lay it down before they actually go get the voice actors to actually be like, okay, now we're going to pay you. Yeah. You really do your thing, get going, do the takes, whatnot. Why, unless my ears deceive me, Dee Bradley Baker voices Saisi in this deleted scene, but none of the actual clones in any of the other tracks.
Who voices Saisi in DCW?
Unless I'm mistaken, it sounds so much like Dee Bradley Baker is voicing Saisi
Tin. Oh, I looked it up.
For Saisi Tin's line.
Baker does
in
voice Saisi Tin in the TCW show. And yeah, it does sound like it. Yeah. But there are other scenes where there are sometimes where Soka is clearly voiced by Ashley Eckstein, and there's sometimes she's not.
Yeah. It makes me very curious about the process, because I don't know too much about the process. And it is also just.
Yeah,
like
I don't know.
Okay.
I legitimately don't know
what led to that.
But yeah,
I'm gonna. That
wraps up our coverage of that. That's gonna be it for this episode of Star Wars in the Galaxy. Next week, season 16.5 of Star Wars in a Galaxy commences. We are going to be watching 4 Star Wars Visions shorts that came out last calendar year. Whose song Sith. Screecher's Reach and Journey to the Dark Head in episode 127 of Star Wars in a Galaxy. And then the week after, of course, we'll do the other 3 that we talked about last episode, In the Stars, The Bandits of Golok, The Pit. And then we will begin Star Wars in the Galaxy season 17, Young Jedi Adventures. In the meantime, you can follow us everywhere at In a Galaxy Pod. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast, we'll be there. If not, you can email us. Also, email us with anything you want to send to the show, slvinagalaxy@gmail.com. You can find our spinoff show that I run, our Trivia League, Epic Conversations, the Star Wars in a Galaxy YouTube channel, and on Twitter at In a Galaxy Trivia. You can find everywhere I am, my link tree, linktr.ee/_OG1027, for everything about where I am and what I'm doing. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else, but there's not. I guess there's all to say, and then I guess all there's to say is. Sorry. Then I guess all there is to say is. May the Force be with you, always. See you next week.
Always.